Thanks for joining us for today's message. We hope that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
Today is our final message in a series called Higher. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at some passages of Scripture with this one thing on our mind, that we're not going to look out, we're not going to look down, but we're going to look up. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, when you see all that, my words, I should say it this way, this is my language, when you see all this chaos, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. The original plan that God had for your life is closer than it's ever been. And in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet says, speaking on behalf of God, says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. And so today concludes this series called Higher. And I could think of no better way to end this than for this to end on Pentecost Sunday. I did not plan that. I did not calculate that. I can be very strategic and very structured, but this just happens to be the way it landed. And today is Pentecost Sunday. And so without being, you know, I suppose academic or theological or very doctriney about it. That's not a word, doctriney. That's not a word, but I just made up a word. Without being like real focused on the doctrine, I want to talk about three things. I want to answer three important questions. I want to answer for us all, what is Pentecost? What happened at Pentecost? And can I experience Pentecost? Now, we just got done singing about the person of the Holy Spirit, and I just really want to be honest with you. I know for a lot of people, whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, a lot of people get really weirded out by this subject. People aren't weirded out necessarily by God the Father. Most people are not weirded out by God the Son, Jesus, but when we begin to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, people, especially in church world, they kind of wig out a little bit. They kind of freak out. And so I want to say this. I grew up in a church that was a great church that had a wonderful emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to go on this journey with me. I want you to give me your time and your attention. I think of all of the commodities, of the things that we have in this life, time and attention are the most valuable. I know if you're on Facebook or you're on YouTube or you're online, the tendency could be to like log off, jump in and jump out. Would you just give me the next several minutes? Give me 10 minutes. I'm gonna take longer than that, but stay logged in for at least 10 minutes. Because I believe that this subject that we're going to talk about today has the power infused in it, not just to give you better information, but to cause transformation to occur in your life. This subject, the person of the Holy Spirit, is so important. And I want to say this before I get into the subject. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. The Holy Spirit makes me better than me. And that's an important distinction, because there's sometimes this kind of talk in terms of our relationship, our connection, our awareness of the Holy Spirit, that we have these levels of hierarchy and importance in church. And I just want to shatter that right from the beginning, because the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you, and the Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than me. The Holy Spirit comes to make me better than me. And so, what is Pentecost? Because today is Pentecost Sunday. And I'm going to tell you why today is Pentecost Sunday in just a moment. So, what is Pentecost? Let's go to the Word, and let's go to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, here is what the writer says in verses 1 and 2. He says this, when the day of Pentecost, there's the word, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. That means they had unity and they were in one place. I think it's interesting that he distinguishes between their unity and their location. How many of you know this? You can be in the same room with someone and not be in unity with them. You could be in this room with me and not be in unity with the person you're sitting next to. You might be watching right now, seated next to someone on the couch that you've just got done arguing with. It's a very important distinction that he says this, they were in one place and they were in one accord. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So what is Pentecost? Well, Pentecost was one of three major Jewish feasts: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Now, for some of you who've been in this a little bit longer, you may say, well, Josh, there's actually seven feasts. There are, but Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles are the three major. So if you'd like to geek out, let me kind of show you how this goes. Passover, it goes like this. Passover then leads to unleavened bread, which then leads to the Feast of First Fruits. So that's three. Then you have Pentecost, that's four. Then you have Tabernacles, which is trumpets and atonement and tabernacle. So there's three in Passover, one in Pentecost, and three in Tabernacles, which makes seven. So how did Pentecost get its name? What does it mean? What is it? Very, very simply stated, this is going to make sense. I want you to follow with me. The word Pentecost comes from two words. Penta, which is where we get pentagon. Five, you can see the word five in there. That's where we get the word five. So five-sided. Costi is a multiple of. So literally, the word Pentecost means, here's what it means. It means 50th. Now, here's what I know, because with a person whose doctrinal bent is closely connected with Pentecostal theology, I know that many people hear the word Pentecost and they get freaked out. They get scared. They get frightened. But listen, here's what Pentecost means. You ready? It means 50. That's not a scary word, is it? Unless, of course, maybe it's your 50th birthday, and that might be a little scary. So why is it 50? Well, I'm going to show you this. This is going to make sense. What is Pentecost? In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, this is what happens. And here's what the scripture says. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed, counting 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer new grain offerings to the Lord. Now, I can hear it happening. I can hear people in the social media world completely disconnecting because I dove a little bit too deep. But let me explain this to you. 50 days after Passover was Pentecost. And Pentecost celebrates, remember, Passover is when the children of Israel put the blood of the sacrifice over their doorposts, and the angel of death passed over them during the final plague of Egypt, passed over. Then they were freed from Egypt, and 50 days after, they received the law. That is what Pentecost was for them. So what happened at Pentecost. That's what it was. That's what it was a celebration of. It was a celebration of Moses bringing the law down from the mountain. I think many of you probably can capture that in your mind. Maybe you haven't read the book, but you saw the movie and you remember that moment. That was the Feast of Pentecost, celebrating God giving his children, us, his people, the written word. That is what it was about. So what happened at the day and at that celebrated the day of Pentecost? What happened? That first Pentecost, a cloud descended with a loud noise and fire. God wrote his tablet or his law on tablets of stone. And in that day, 3,000 people died on the very first Pentecost. But now when you fast forward to the book of Acts, Jesus dies and gives his life as a sacrifice on Passover. He's here 40 days, and then he ascends to heaven. And the disciples and the 120 are tarrying in the upper room for 10 days. 40 plus 10 is 50. And so on the day of Pentecost, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit descends with a loud noise and fire. God then wrote his law on men's hearts. And that day, 3,000 people don't die. 3,000 people are saved. Watch this in Acts chapter 2. And there, this is the account of Pentecost. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Everyone heard them speak in his own language. I want you to zero in on the word confused. If you can circle it or underline it or type it in the thread, the word confused. This is very interesting. I want to go back to Genesis. I won't turn there, but some of you might recall this story. In Genesis chapter 11, the people were all of one language. They came to a place, the Tower of Babel, where they were going to build a structure so high they were going to try to attempt to reach God with their man-made ability. And something happened. They all had one language, but they came together in rebellion and pride. On the day of Pentecost, they all come together, but they're in unity and humility of heart, in obedience to what Jesus told them to do. So in Genesis, at the Tower of Babel, they all had one language and God confused their language. But on the day of Pentecost, they all come together with different languages and God restores what they had possessed at the Tower of Babel. I love the way Robert Morris says it. He says it this way. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of Babel. I think that's absolutely incredible. Watch what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, speaking of the moment between his resurrection and his ascension, that, and then after he ascends, between the ascension and the day of Pentecost. Here's what Jesus says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what is Pentecost? We've answered that. 50th day after Passover. What happened? We see that God restores all that had been lost to us and restores us to the power of the fullness of the power of his Spirit. And so then the important thing now is to ask, can we experience this power that Jesus promised? Can I experience it? Now, I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And something that seems to be very controversial and even confusing for people. And watch this. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I want you to look at that word divided on the screen. I want you to see that. And usually, we think of divided as synonymous with division, not together. But this word is a little bit different. I actually, instead of thinking of the word division, I want you to think of the word individual. Individual. Imagine if you would a pizza cut into pie shapes. And imagine there's eight of us and there's eight pieces. That pizza has been divided, right? But every one of us, the eight who are there, we all get our own individual piece of that pizza. That's the way this word is being used. Everyone on the day of Pentecost got something. No one was left out. And it goes on in Acts 2:4 says this, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word tongues is where we get the word glossary or language. I want you to know there's nothing to be afraid of when the Bible uses any word. When the Bible uses the word tongues, people spaz out. They freak out. But we don't get scared when someone says language or glossary. This was something every one of those men and women experienced on that day. So can you experience Pentecost? Can you experience the fullness of the power of the Spirit? Can we? Look at this passage in Acts chapter 1. I'm going to keep reading. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. The promise of the Father is something that's a very important phrase that we're going to see a couple of times. Going on to verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he gives a command, go and wait for the promise of the Father. And then we see in Acts 2, them experience the promise of the Father. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and something happened. Their hearts and their minds and their mouths were changed. In Acts 2, Peter says to them in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Watch this. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, I want you just to say promise out loud or type it in the comments. Promise. Watch this. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Here's what I want you to know. In that verse, Peter's talking about me, and he's talking about you. Can you experience the power and the fire of Pentecost? Peter says you can. He says the same thing that they received on the day of Pentecost. The promise was for them, to their children, and to all who were afar off. I'm not really too concerned about what you've been told, the Bible says, about the power of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to know and to see is, what does it actually say for you in your life right here, right now? He says this, for the promise is to you and to your children, to those folks who were there with them on the day of Pentecost, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So I have a question. Has he called you? He has, and he's called me. And this verse says that this promise, the promise of the day of Pentecost, is for you and all who are far off, as many as God calls. Can you experience it? Can you experience the power of Pentecost? That's the question we're trying to answer. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of every person the moment you give your heart and life to Christ. Pentecost, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, allows us to experience the fullness of the Spirit in our life. So can we experience this? Well, let me ask you this. Can we experience Passover? Passover, for the years that it's been done, the Passover lamb was sacrificed at 9 a.m. The lamb then was put into the oven at 3 p.m. And this sacrifice covered their sins. And what we know about Jesus is he is our Passover lamb. Jesus, interestingly enough, was sacrificed. He was wounded for us at 9 a.m. He was put into the tomb at 3 p.m. And his sacrifice doesn't cover our sins. His sacrifice removes our sins. So can you experience Passover? Absolutely. It is the shed blood which is for the remission of our sins. You can experience Passover. Let me ask you this. Can you experience Tabernacles? The first time this occurred, they were wandering and living in temporary huts, and they were brought to their final permanent home, and they celebrated it during the harvest season. But the final time we celebrate Tabernacles is the representation that we're living in this earthly, temporary life, and we will have the promise. We have the promise of being brought to our final home in heaven, and there will be a great final harvest of those who will come to faith in Christ. Can we experience Passover? Absolutely. Will we experience Tabernacles? Absolutely. So then why, I want to ask you, can you experience Passover and you can experience the Feast of Tabernacles? Explain to me why we can't experience Pentecost. Someone says, well, we had to be there and alive, and that's all been passed away when the last apostle died. Well, wait a minute. The last apostle died, and you and I can still experience forgiveness of sins. You and I will still have the promise of being gathered together with Christ in eternity. We will be able to experience Passover now and Tabernacles now. Why is Pentecost different? I submit to you, it's not. That you have the right to experience the power of Pentecost. Now, if you have followed Christ, here's the invitation. Here's the simple illustration. Here's the simple invitation, I should say. I'm asking you to give yourself fully to God. Does he have all of you? Let me illustrate it to you this way. I don't mean this to anyone in particular, but just in general, let's imagine, if you would, someone that you know is inviting their in-laws over to their house. And it ends up that the in-laws have to stay there for a prolonged period of time. How many of you know it's possible to entertain the in-laws but not fully give yourself to them as inhabitants of your home? To just say, hey, it's good that they're here for a minute, but then there's going to be a time for them to leave. versus fully embracing them as inhabitants of your home. I want you, through that simple illustration, maybe I could have done a better one, but I want you to make the decision to give yourself fully to the person of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want to experience all your fullness. That's what Pentecost is, that you would receive power to live this life. The reason I want you to say yes today, for two reasons why. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteously. In other words, it's a messed up world. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot earn your own righteousness. You cannot do it without His help. And the Holy Spirit comes and He empowers you to live righteously. The second reason why I'm inviting you to experience Pentecost on this Pentecost Sunday, 2020, 50 days after Passover. And I think it's interesting that we begin to track the number of decisions for Jesus during that 50-day period. Today end caps that. 115 of you, 115 people have said yes to Christ and stepped into new life. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously, number one. And number two, the Holy Spirit empowers you to live supernaturally. You can't do this life on your own. You need help. You need supernatural help to be a spouse, to be a parent, to be a coworker, to be a fellow human being with those around you. I'm going to invite you to two things right now. I'm going to invite you, and we're going to worship. I'm going to invite you to say yes to Jesus. If you've never said yes to Christ, I'm inviting you right now to say yes to Him. That's that first feast we talked about, that Jesus laid down His life, lived a perfect, sinless life, whole and complete, so that you could spend eternity with Him. This gift is free, not because of anything you've done, but it's available to you because of grace. And you receive it by faith, by simply believing and saying, I accept what Jesus has done for me, taken all of my past mistakes, taken all of my wrong, taken all of my sin, and resolved it once and for all because of His sacrifice, His death, burial, and His resurrection. You can be raised to new life. Your past can be old, and a brand new start can happen for you right now. I want you to say yes to Jesus. On screen, there'll be a place for you to say, I'm saying yes, either for the first time decision or as a rededication. If you're saying yes to the second fullness of the Spirit, inviting Him into your life to experience the fullness of His life in the Spirit, this promise of Pentecost, I want you to click that button that says I'm rededicating. Even though you may be walking with Him, we just want to know how many of you are making this decision. I want you to say yes. Maybe you've never said this before. Maybe you've never said, I want to do this for the very first time. I love it. But I know there are people who are watching. You've not given yourself fully. You've had skepticism, maybe criticism, confusion about who the person of the Holy Spirit is. Let me tell you very simply who He is. He's your helper. He's your friend. He's an ever-present help in time of need. The enemy wants you to be afraid of the person of the Holy Spirit because Satan fears what giving yourself completely to the fullness of God will do in your life. I want you to say yes right now. And while we worship, I want to give you a moment to let this thing breathe for you to be able to say, God, just do in me whatever it is that you want to do. I want you to do that right now. Just bow your head and close your eyes. Just say out loud, say, God, just have your way in me. Do whatever it is that you want to do. I want to experience the fullness
of your Spirit.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel. Or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Have a blessed day.